Obedience to God breeds peace. And I want to give a caveat. We're going to run a bit late today because of the time. If you think about it, if you do what God wants you to do, you're very peaceful. But when you rationalize and carry your stories and tell yourself why you shouldn't do what God wants you to do, initially, you think you're getting away. But over time, you build in a weakness in your emotion, and you lack peace totally. And then you get into this conflict with yourself, which is, but I know God, and I go to church, and I read my Bible. Why don't I experience peace? It's because for too long, you drowned the voice of the Spirit and raised the voice of rationale. And you're confused which one is God. And you're not clear about what you're supposed to be doing. So it's true. If you pay attention to God, a lot of peace comes your way. And so, this is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. That this is love for God. It doesn't just happen because you go to church, but because you love God. When God told Abraham, I'm going to go and sacrifice Isaac, your only son, he did that because he loved God. And that did not change all the way until he got to the top of the mountain. That was love for God. The fact that you obey God doesn't take away the fear, the anxiety, the challenge that comes with obeying God. It is still there. That is not a difficulty. It is not a burdensome. Rather, it is a growth point that God wants you to have. Does that make sense? And I say that because I think many of us have moved away from a wholehearted operation of obeying God to iffy obedience to God. We do it because it's what convenient for now. If it's not convenient, it doesn't align with my life, my what, we put that away. So God really is thrown around our lives and it's not the center of what we do. Brother, God is someone that is used to help us do what we want to achieve in life. That's so different from when God is the center. That God guides, directs our steps. That we are surrendered to Him. That He guides us in how we operate. And that transforms our lives. Well. Good. What is holding you back from obedience? Galatians 5:7-9. You are running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for He is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. The point being, the Galatians church, they were having a great time, and then the Judaizers got involved and began to teach some Old Testament conditions that were not in the New Testament. Unless you get circumcised, you can be a Christian. It says, no. That isn't what we're talking about. You need to come to God by faith. And that conflict of faith and Judaism was at play. So he asked the question, you are running the race so well. Who has held you back from the truth? You know, Paul uses the word race a lot. When you start racing, it's exhilarating when you start in the beginning. It's great. You have energy. You're feeling it. And this is a marathon, by the way. So when you start, I remember going to school, being Kenyan, I think it was the second time, you had to go run every afternoon, 4 o'clock. Get out, everybody, go running. I don't know how many kilometers we did, but we just kept going. And you come out and you're feeling good about yourself. After about 10 minutes in, it's another ballgame. Distance starts developing between people. After about 30 minutes, it's no longer distance. People are disappearing around the corner. You can't see who is who. up to 1 hour, you have there are people wanting to literally walk, to just walk. But you got to keep going. It is a marathon. You got to keep trotting on your way out. But if you're fit, that's when you kick in. You're like, let's see what happens. You're in tune with your body saying, we can do this. It didn't happen overnight. You trained yourself. They were running a good race. But who cut them off? When they were taught a different truth, they didn't have the anchor of the scripture. They just went with what was said. What happens to us is at some point, we lose that. Because somewhere in our lives, we've stopped investing in our relationship with God. So when we are cut out, we get cut out very easily. When I say investing in a relationship with God, it's the time you take to be with God. The mindset of I need to grow stops being there. It just becomes, well, I did something today. We stop investing. So there's no return. At some point, we stop investing. So any little thing takes over. It becomes a yeast that takes over. But that's not the only thing that takes over as the yeast. The other yeast can be just the fact that, you know what, you've decided that God will be second and third. That becomes your yeast. And you use very good reasons. Maybe family, maybe job, other things that just make God something way behind here. Not the center of life anymore. What is your yeast? What is the yeast that is taking God away? Because when that happens, you can't obey God. For some of us, it's just a simple thing. Life throws things at us to a point where we stop reading the Bible because we're just angry with life. Why is life not giving me what I want? So we stop obeying God, not because God has done anything to us, but because life is not giving us what we want. Well, Joseph was in that place. His brothers threw him in the cistern. Then they decided, we're going to give him, sell him over to these guys. Then these guys go with him, sell him over to the Egyptians. Then he goes to jail and he thinks things are going to work out. Some guy forgets him in jail and then continues, eventually comes out of jail, works for the master. The wife turns around. What is the point of obeying God? And puts him back in jail, but still stays with God. That is obedience. I think that many of us, at the point we were thrown in the cistern, like Joseph, we may have rationalized and say, God is going to make this work out. Then, when we got out of the cistern and were sold to slave traders, we wondered, God, are you really going to work this out? And then we got to Egypt and we thought, well, let's see what happens. I guess that was just a bad time. I hope I do better. We are always looking to this day that there will be no problems. That's an illusion. When we get to heaven, there will be no problems. While we're on earth, what does the scripture say? There are many troubles, but take heart because I've overcome them. So the idea that your posture is waiting for the day when there will be no trouble in your house, I think you're living in the wrong planet. You need to readjust your posture a little bit here and come back to trusting God even in that moment. And in Egypt, he went to jail, came out, what was back, came out, and eventually great things happened. The end was good. But meantime, and we don't know how long that was, maybe 8 years, a lot was going on. I think the biggest challenge we face as disciples today is this desire to be so comfortable, to not be challenged, to not walk through difficult moments, that we give up easy on our faith. Let me rephrase that. We don't not necessarily give up, we resign. We come to church, but we've taken a resignation position. So we don't give of ourselves. We don't fight. We are like that guy in a race, but will not fight to make it happen. When I would run in school, there were days when I wanted to be top 10, and I was giving my best. But there were days when I said, the goal is to finish, even if I come in 10 hours later. Then the teachers changed the game around. They had a guy following you behind with a bike and says, hey, you got to do something better than just walking around. And sometimes the whip was cracked to get you going, but it wasn't the best idea. The whole idea I'm saying to us is that you cannot resign as a Christian. You've got to obey God. Where have you resigned? You come to church, but you've resigned. You no longer do the things you did at first. That can happen to any soul. Unknowingly, that can happen. When obedience ceases to be an irritant and becomes our quest, in that moment, God will endure us with power. That's true. Because sometimes you hear the word obedience, obeying God, you're like, what, what? When you make that your quest and you're now wholehearted about it, you'll see the power of God. Obedience leads to true freedom. The more we obey, revealed truth. The question is, are you even getting any revealed truth lately? Have you gotten any revealed truth lately, or are you stuck with your old stuff? Has God revealed anything to you lately? What is God showing you? Have you been studying that out lately and said, God, show me something? Is that happening? Then you become much more fruitful and see what God is doing. Obedience is a choice. Is that true? No, I'm a victim of circumstance. What are you talking about? How can that be a choice? Is obedience a choice? No, you don't understand it. I was just there. It just happened. Do I still have a choice? Well, why should I go through this? Oh, everyone else in the world is not going through it. What's the point of being a Christian? Is that a choice still? Everybody else is doing it. Why would I do it God's way? Everybody else, did you speak to all the Americans? Including the one that was born just a few minutes ago? You see how we embellish stories? I'm playing the devil's advocate as I go back and forth. You still have a choice. You have a choice in school to not link up with everyone else and just be like everyone. You have a choice in society. You have a choice in your home. Don't you realize that you became like the slave of whatever, you became the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Let's take this. Paul is talking to the Romans well and trying to explain to them that when you're in the world, you do the sinful things wholeheartedly and you're a slave to that. You have no choice. When you're a slave, you have no choice. You do things. But now that you become disciples, you've chosen to enslave yourself to God. That choice then is to give your heart to God, to say, I want to do right, to live a righteous life. To do that, you will not just hope it happens, you'll have to make that choice every day. But it's hard. It's hard because when you think about it, we are very automated. We're very automated. You wake up a certain time, you eat a certain time, you get in the car a certain time, and you get go. How is that a choice? It's automated. You never say, you know what? I'm going to try a different route today. For some of us, it's been the same route. We get in. Or some of us, it's GPS. Even when we know where we are going, we've just programmed ourselves to put in a GPS. Even though we know where we're going, GPS, we need it. That's how programmed we are. We don't take time to say, what is the purpose of all this behavior? Where are we heading with this thing? Then we begin to make choices about obeying God. Small things. It starts with small things. How you treat people in your home. How you treat people at work. How you treat people in the neighborhood. It's small stuff. That's where you begin to obey God. When you can do it with small stuff, you can change with the big stuff. What are the choices you got to make? And I remember yesterday I was hanging out with Stephanie. We're just hanging out. And she asked me, Dad, you want me to make some tea to you? And I thought to myself, if I said yes, she had done a lot. She had done so much for me the whole day, I'll be lazy. And I said, no, I'll do it myself. I'm going to make the tea. The truth be told, I want to take the shotgun and say, you know what? Can you do it for me? And bring out the card of I am the dad. But I said to myself, she's done so much for me already. I think I need to serve myself now. Do some things for myself. That's a choice. All I'm asking you to think a little bit today is, have you given up choices on obeying God and instead taken on all the excuses the world brings to you? Because it has many. It has many. It'll pour it on your door. Obedience is a choice. It's a choice between our own limited knowledge and the power and God's unlimited wisdom and omnipotence. Which one would you go to God's power or yours? When you choose to go with your excuses, you're choosing very limited power. When you choose to go with God, you're choosing unlimited power. Which one would you go to? You see, if you think about it that way, you'll realize, I better choose God every day. He's so powerful. Why am I choosing limited power? Let me go to God all the time. Does that make sense? But if you just choose what you want to do, the small stuff, that what is limited by your thinking, you're limiting your capacity to be a disciple. Do well. Obedience proceeds the victories from God. Look at the stories in the Bible and all the people that did well. None of those people resisted God. If it's Elijah, Elisha, all those people had to obey God first before the victories came. If it's Peter, he had to obey Jesus first before the victories came. Put the net in the water, he did. If you say so, after that there was so much fish he couldn't even pull it out. Every victory you see in the Bible requires that you first obey God. Then the victory is coming. And if you think about it, we think the other way around. I have to wait first. I see the victory, then I'll obey God. It doesn't work like that. You've got to trust God. You've got to go in faith. In other words, you cannot obey God based on what you see. That is sight. You have to go on the fact that He is God. Now here's our challenge. When we obey and nothing comes through. And when I say nothing comes through, is because in the time we set, you realize that some things you set may come through in 2 years. Do you realize that? Or you don't like what I just said? You realize the stuff you said, some of the stuff will come in 10 years. You realize that? You see, we don't do well with disappointment. Because our world is so narrow to my time. Enjoy the journey because God is preparing you for something bigger. There's certain things I look into my life and I say, thank God you've laid all that. I look back and I say, thank you, Lord, that you delayed all these things and they're coming 2 years later, 10 years later. And you think about your life. You may think it's a delay. It's God at work. It's God at work, the master of your life. Trust Him. Chronicles. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord, his God, in everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands. He sought his God and walked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. Amen. He says, in everything that he undertook, in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and to the commands, he sought God and walked wholeheartedly and so he prospered. What is your thrust to giving of yourself to God? I know this morning we talked a little bit about being a good worker. And I want to touch that and explain that if you give 100% to God, you cannot be a lazy worker anyway. You cannot have two hearts. I've said that this week many times. You've got to learn to give 100% of yourself. What does that look like? Okay, I'll use different examples. If you like a song that you really like, it comes on radio, how do you sing? Do you sing, oh, what a beautiful song? Or you raise your voice and, wow, and sing along. The window's down and your body cannot help it but move along and do some hand move. Why? Because it's so exciting. Wholehearted. Nobody can control you. If you like a meal that is your best meal, how do you eat that meal? Do you eat it begrudgingly or do you sit down and calm down and focus? And eat to the best of and just have a good taste of it. You're enjoying it, right? If it's a game that you really like, how do you... Do you walk around or you're watching or you sit down, tune on the music, I mean tune up all the TV properly, the sound is coming and you're watching. When they have a touchdown, you sit there and say, wow, touchdown, touchdown. You're out of your seat, wow, touchdown. Some of us walk around the stage and do all kinds of things. We're falling down. You would think we are playing the game. When it comes to God, yeah, we're going to give you leftovers. No energy, no passion. Are we going to church? We're going to come late anyway. You know, you may come here one day and I may have a gift of $1 million for the one who comes first. So be careful. You may lose out on that money. No, I'll give you much more than that. It's not about the money, it's about getting to heaven. Well, we've got to engage. So you cannot obey God if you're not engaged. That's the whole truth. It comes down to the fact that your heart is not engaged on God. To engage like that, it takes you sitting down and connecting to what is God trying to do in my life. When you understand that, something, I can't put it into words. I just feel motivated when I connect to that role. I say, I got to go and serve God. It's fun. The energy you get from God is nothing a human being can give to you. This is an encouragement for all of us to look for ways. Even as you write down your survey, that you got to find a place to engage, to give of yourself to God, so we can glorify God together. Great moves of God are usually preceded by simple acts of obedience. So let me end here. Obedience is not a complicated story, brothers and sisters. It's simple acts. You decide today you'll have some simple acts of obedience to God today. You will be able to say, sorry, I meant you'll come back. And I say, I'm just simple stuff that you'll turn around and say, you know what, hey, by the way, I can tell you a little bit about God and what He's done in my life. That's simple stuff. That you'll serve in your house, simple stuff. As your heart begins to see what God is doing in your home, in your other places, you'll begin to see that your heart grows again and goes everywhere in your life. When you start to repent, that particular used to go through everywhere in your heart. When you hold back, it goes everywhere in your heart. Don't self-sabotage. Start by obeying God. Let go of fear and have faith. But faith will not come if you're not in the Word. Start praying and pray fervently about it and trust that God will bring about change. Be clear about what God is trying to do in your life and engage in that area and you'll see what God does. You will not transform if you're not obeying God. Our illusion is that we know so much but do so little in terms of obeying God. That is where it goes wrong. God bless you.